To 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as we come to the Word of God this morning. Hearing the words of Paul, writing this to the letter, his second letter to the church of Corinth, a church that he had founded, we had seen as we went through the book of Acts on his missionary journey there, and Paul had spent several years teaching them, and now he is writing back to them, answering some of their questions and correcting some of their wrong teaching. Some of their teaching about understanding about heaven was not correct, and the resurrection. So he was writing to correct some of those and also share with them the hope. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Paul says, "Now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is yet to come. Therefore, we are always confident as long as we know that we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Herein's reading of God's word, His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for that hope of the glorious place that you are preparing, where you are now, and many are already enjoying there with you. Father, I pray that as we begin this series together, that you would put within our hearts a longing for home, and that you would help us to understand all that is ahead of us and what you are preparing for us in that wonderful place. So Lord, speak to us through your word this morning. Open your truth to us. Give us eyes to see, even though we are looking through a glass darkly this morning, but yet give us eyes to see by faith what is a reality and what you have promised to us, that we may be encouraged in our life for you today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In the classic movie, The Wizard of Oz, it stars a little girl named Dorothy Gale from Kansas, and she had longed to live beyond life outside of the farm and dreamed what life would be like over the rainbow in another place she'd never seen before, and her longing was that she wanted to go across the rainbow and experience life outside of Kansas because she thought the farm was not where it was to be. And you know the story, and eventually the hurricane came and she was taken over into the land of Oz. And she was got there through the tornado, and she was in the land of Oz, and she experienced some really wonderful things there, but she also discovered that things weren't as good as she had thought they would be. And her whole time in the land of Oz, she kept longing to get back home. And where she wanted to be was back home again. And she finally, at the end of the movie, you know, arrived back home, and the classic line, she come to realize that there is no place like home. And friends, the word of God says, as believers in Christ, there is no place like home that the Lord is preparing for us. And we're going to be spending together these coming weeks, taking a little glimpse of pulling the curtain back a little bit and seeing what God has provided for us and what the scripture says he is preparing and that we have to look forward to. And beginning today with a longing, having a longing for that place that God is preparing for us. Longing to be with Jesus and longing to be and experience the home that God is preparing, because friends, there is no place like it. as we go through this series that we're going to begin this morning, I'm going to be basing this series on the scripture and a book by Randy Alcorn called Heaven. And this book on heaven has a lot to say to us about the reality of all that God has promised, and it is one of the best books on teaching on heaven today. It has the theology of heaven, as well as answers a lot of the questions you want to know. And through the generosity of several members of the church this morning, as you leave, there's going to be copies of the book available here for anybody who wants to take it, who will read it, and we'll have these available for you afterwards, so that you can be blessed as we journey together and learn more about what God has to say to us in this home that he is preparing. But today we begin with a longing for home. And as Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, his second letter to them, he was describing for them the heavenly dwelling that is awaiting and how Paul was longing to go there. And we had seen in his missionary journeys, and we had seen last week at the end of his life, how he had served the Lord faithfully until the Lord called him home. But he had a longing to be and to move into that place that God was preparing for us. And this morning, as we look at the scripture together, we're going to discover four reasons why we should have a longing for home. Why we should feel like Dorothy, that there's no place like home. And as brothers and sisters and believers in Christ, we should have a longing, just as Paul said, I prefer to be there with Jesus. I prefer to be out of this body and to be there home with Christ. Is that your longing? Is that what you're looking forward to? And there's four reasons why Paul says that should be the reality for us. We should have a longing for home because it's where we were created for. We were created for that. Notice what Paul says in verse 1. Now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Paul says we should have a longing for home because we were created for there. He said this earth life, living here, this body, is like living in a tent. And he said there's someday, there's a permanent dwelling where we're going to be with God. And we were created, you and I, were made to live with God forever in paradise. When God created Adam and Eve and he placed them in the garden, he put them in the Garden of Eden, a place that was called paradise. There was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no sadness, there was nothing, no brokenness. Everything was perfect and glorious there. And the scripture says that God came down and dwelt with them and talked with them every day, and they lived in that fellowship with him. And that was what God created us to be, to enjoy his presence forever in a place of paradise. But we know the story. We know that sin came in, and Adam and Eve had listened to the serpent, Satan, as he attempted them, and they disobeyed God, and brokenness came. Because of that, there became a separation between God and man, and Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and barred from entering that again. But there is coming a day, in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, we'll be looking in that fulfillment, that there is coming a day when God's presence will come back on earth through the holy city, and we will live with him. But God created you to live forever with him in paradise. That's what he made you for. So that should be our longing, to want to be with our Savior and with our Lord more than anything else. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that he, God, has set eternity in the hearts of men. And he has put that within us. And every culture that you would study around the world has some kind of hope of heaven. And they have some hope of an afterlife. And why is that? It's because God placed that within our heart of a desire to live forever with him somewhere. And he made you for that. He created you for eternity. His design was you for to be and enjoy his presence for all time. Isn't that cool? That's something that should excite us. That's what you were made for. You were made for an eternity of living in the presence of God for all time. In a perfect, complete paradise. With no break, no sin, no brokenness, no sickness, any of that. That wasn't God's plan in the beginning. So that should give you a longing. Paul says, I know when this earthly tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house, not made by human hands at all, because it was made and prepared by God. as Jesus said in John 14, he's preparing that place for us. So it's what we were made for. That's why we should have a longing. Second reason we should have a longing for heaven, it's because life will be wonderful there. It's going to be glorious when we experience heaven, and we're going to be talking more about that, what heaven is, as we understand it, because there's a lot of misunderstandings of heaven. But in heaven on earth, when the new final Jerusalem comes, and even in heaven, the intermediate heaven now, life is glorious there. But there's a lot of misconceptions of heaven. But listen to what Paul says. He said, meanwhile, talking about life here, while he's longing to be home, he said, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, he's likening the human body to a tent, while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Life will be wonderful in heaven, where God is preparing for us. But there are a lot of misconceptions about heaven, a lot of misunderstandings. People don't fully understand. You ask someone about heaven, and they give you all kinds of ideas. And some of them aren't biblical, even if in the church. Even people that have come to church all their life have unbiblical teachings of what heaven is about. They don't fully understand it. In fact, some people think heaven is going to be a never-ending church service. That all we do when we get to heaven is we're going to be in church and we're just going to worship God. And Jerome, you agree with that, or you've heard that? Or is that what you want? A never-ending church service? You're not looking forward to that? Okay, how many are looking forward to a never-ending church service? Well, heaven's not going to be that. Lizzie is, okay. But heaven's not going to be a never-ending church service, but that's a misconception. People think all we're going to do in heaven is just be in church and worship God all the time. There's more to it than that. Another misconception of heaven is that it will be boring. Ah, I see somebody shaking your heads. You've either heard that before or maybe you've thought that. And that's been communicated by this Far Side cartoon, where here's a guy sitting on a cloud saying, man, I wish I would have brought a magazine. Because some people, there's a misconception of heaven, thinking all we're going to do is float around on clouds all day and play harps. And how many like harp music? Nobody here likes harp music. All right, well, you don't have to, because there's going to be all kinds of music in heaven. But that's a misconception that it's going to be boring there. Believe me, heaven and the new heaven and new earth that God is preparing is far from boring, as we're going to see. God has a lot in store for us, and we want to look forward to that. That's a misconception. Another misconception is that we will become angels. How many have heard that? Oh boy, when so a goat gets to heaven, they're going to become an angel. No, that's not true. God made all the angels before he created us. We do not become angels when we go to heaven. That's a misconception. And that's a lot of truth there. So there's all these misconceptions. But where? Where did they come from? Where do you think all these misunderstandings of heaven come from? Well, some of it comes from a lack of biblical teaching on the subject of heaven in the church. We don't spend enough time teaching about heaven, so people don't fully know from the scripture what the Bible has to say about it. Randy Alcorn points out in his book, he says, suppose you're spending for 4 or 5 years planning to go to NASA, a NASA trip to Mars. And you get to Mars and you're on your way. You go through all your study and preparation of learning how to use all the equipment in your rocket and all the technology, and you study all of this on how to prepare to use the rocket and all your equipment and technology, and then you get in the rocket and you're ready to take off to go to Mars, and your co-person traveling with you says, well, what do you think Mars is like? And you say, well, I don't know. I didn't study about that. I have no idea. And, you know, so it is about heaven. What do you think heaven's like? And people, well, I don't know. I never really studied much about it. I have no idea. But the Lord has a lot to say to us about the glory of heaven that's in store. So a lack of teaching is one reason. Another reason there's misconceptions in the church about heaven is because of Satan himself. Satan is a deceiver and he's a liar. And he doesn't want us to know about heaven because remember, Satan was there. He was second highest to God. He was one of the highest archangels. He was in the presence of the Lord. He was enjoying all the beauties of heaven. He knows all that God has prepared and in store for us. He knows what's ahead. He knows the glorious future. He's seen heaven. But he wasn't content with worshiping God. He wanted to be God. And the Lord kicked him out of heaven. He was banished from there. And now he hates the place. And he doesn't want us to enjoy it either. And because he was banished from heaven, he does not want us to enjoy it. And so he does not want us to think about heaven. He wants us to be focused on things of earth. And he wants us to focus and not distracted about other things so we don't think about home and have a longing for there. Because the more we think about home, the more we're going to have a longing for there. And we're going to get homesick for heaven. And that's really what we should want. So there's a lot of misconceptions. Another reason there's misconceptions of heaven is naturalism. Naturalism is a teaching that this life is all there is. We evolved from a bunch of slime. We weren't created by God. Life has no purpose and meaning. All there is this life here. And when we die, we're put in the grave. We turn into the dirt, and that's it. There's nothing else. And that's a hopeless position to be. But you know, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that live that way, and that's sad. But that's where naturalism has taken us to. And we see that in our teaching. Unfortunately, even in a lot of churches. And it's a sad place to be. So there's a lot of misconceptions of heaven. But the Bible has a lot to say. So heaven will be a wonderful place. It will be wonderful there. And as we look at Paul's teaching here, it describes several things of what it's going to be like. Here, we live in a tent. But there, we'll live in a mansion. Notice what he says. We know that here we're living in, well, verse 4, for while we are in this tent. And he says in verse 1, our tent will be traded into a heavenly mansion, a home that God is preparing, that Jesus is. So here we are living in a tent. Someday we're going to have a glorious dwelling place. But Jesus was called mansions, dwelling places, but it's an eternal, permanent place of residence with God. Now, how many of you would rather live in a tent all the time, or a beautiful, permanent dwelling residence somewhere? How many would rather have the tent? How many would rather have the mansion? Yeah. And that's what we're looking forward to. And that's our home. That's going to be glorious, what God's preparing. But right now, it's like living in a tent. Here, our bodies are mortal. He says in verse 4, so that what is mortal, we long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Here, our bodies are mortal, but there, in heaven, they will be immortal. Because our bodies are mortal, they wear out. They get sick. We age. We get all those aches and pains when we get up in the morning, and you feel, oh, man, all those aches. And we have poor vision, and our memory fails us. Our sight, our hearing, all those things give way because we are in a mortal body that is decaying. But there, our bodies will be immortal. They will never wear out. They will never tire. It will never, if you have any, Alzheimer's, people with Alzheimer's, their mind will be fully restored. People with cancer will be fully healed. Broken relationships will be mended and restored. Our loved ones will be reunited back together in a permanent relationship and bond. Won't that be glorious? We have that hope of looking forward to. Here, things are mortal, but there, it's immortal. We'll live forever. Here, life is temporary, but there, life will be eternal. And if the Lord gives us grace here, as it says in Psalms, as Moses says, our span of our life is maybe but 70 years. And if the Lord gives us grace, in the case of Arlene Houck, 100, and the Lord is gracious to us and gives us a longer life here, but even in the midst of that, our 70, 80, 90 years here is just but a blink in the midst of what eternity is going to be, where we have no end and our life will live and go on forever and ever, with no end to it. And that's a hope we have, to have an eternal life that is true and provided for us. And here, we groan, but there we will celebrate. Notice Paul says, verse 2, meanwhile, while we live in this tent, we groan, and we long to be clothed. And in verse 4, he said, while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. We groan because we experience the pain of loss of loved ones. We groan because we have sickness. We groan because of all the things happening around us. We live in a broken, hurting world, and we groan here. But there is coming a day when we get to heaven, we won't groan anymore. We will celebrate. And there will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. There will be no more separation. There will be no more suffering. There will be none of that. Will be gone forever. And the old order of things passed away. And all is made new. Doesn't that make you want to shout hallelujah? It does me. I'm getting excited up here. I don't know about you. But that excites me when I think of what's in store. We won't be groaning anymore. All the things that make you groan will be gone, and we'll be celebrating for all eternity in the presence of Jesus. If that doesn't make you shout, check your blood pressure this morning. See if you're still breathing, because that's exciting. And here we have the down payment, but there we will have the inheritance. Notice what Paul says. He says he has given us the Holy Spirit in verse 5. It is God who has, for this purpose, given us the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And the Holy Spirit living in you. And maybe as I'm preaching this morning and talking a little bit about home and what's ahead, maybe you feel a stirring in your heart. Maybe you feel an excitement stirring in you. And that's because that's the Holy Spirit in you, assuring you of what is yet to come. He's the deposit. Because he has given us the Holy Spirit who resides within us, God says he is the promise, the guarantee of what we are going to receive. He's the down payment like you put on your home. And he's the down payment of the inheritance that we have someday. That because the Holy Spirit is resident in you, he's the assurance that all that God has promised we will receive. And it is ours, and we are guaranteed of it. So the world says, this world is all there is. But this world is not all there is. The best is yet to come. And we have a glorious future ahead. Third reason we need to long for home is because it's where our faith becomes sight. Notice what Paul says here in verses 6 to 8. He said, while we are in this tent, we are confident. As long as we are in this tent, we are at home in the body, away from the Lord. For verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. But we are confident. That word confident means we are assured, absolutely certain of. We are constant, I say, to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. Paul said, when we get to home and have a longing for home, it's where our faith, what we live for by faith right now, will become an absolute reality, and we will see. Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the promise, the certainty, assurance that what we hope for is a reality we will see. And when we get to heaven, all the faith that we've lived by, that we've demonstrated, we will see, and we are confident that we will experience. It is where our faith becomes sight, because we will see our home. Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And when I have that place prepared for you, I will come and take you to be with me there. And you will be with me for all eternity. We have that confidence that our faith will come sight, that we will see all that God has promised. Right now, we see through a glass dimly, and we long for home, but someday we will see it, and we will experience it, and we will move in that permanent dwelling that God has for us. Our faith will become sight. We will see home, we will see our Savior. Seeing him face to face and getting to heaven and bowing before the one who gave himself for us and singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb," casting our crowns before him and being in the presence of Jesus who loves us. Won't that be glorious to actually see him? Right now, we see him by faith, but we will actually see him face to face. What a glorious day that will be. Our faith will become sight. And it's a reality. We're short of it. And we have that promise. Acts chapter 7, verses 55 to 56. And the stoning of Stephen, as Stephen was about ready to be killed, the first martyr for his faith. And he had shared the gospel and shared the hope of Jesus. And those there rejected him. And as they were ready to stone him, and he said, "Look, I see heaven opening, and I see the Son of Man, Jesus, standing there, ready to receive me." And that was his hope for all those who went and go to heaven, knowing that they will, first people they see, close our eyes here and open our eyes and see Jesus standing, waiting to receive us home. What a glorious promise. That's the motivation to run the race. That gives us a longing to see our Savior, first of all, face to face. And we will also see those who are already there. Hebrews chapter 12 and 11 tells us about the great hall of fame of those who were faithful. And chapter 12 says that we're surrounded because we're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, those who are already there in the grandstands of heaven waiting for us to continue to run the race. And someday we will join them there when we cross the finish line. And those loved ones that you know are already in heaven waiting for you. And someday our faith will become sight. When we get into heaven, you will see them. Run into their arms, be reunited, and not ever be separated from them ever again. Isn't that glorious? And that's our promise, and that's our hope. Our faith will become sight. That should give us a longing. Paul said, I prefer to be living in my heavenly home instead of in this tent. I prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord because it's going to be so much glorious there. But why is it that we want to hold on to this life so much? We want to hold on to here when this world really is in our home. Something far glorious is far better for us. And we should have that longing. Because it's where our faith becomes sight. And fourth, have a longing for home because it gives us the proper mindset. Notice what Paul says. He closes by saying, "So we make it our goal, because heaven is our home, we're longing for home, we make it our goal then to please him, whether we are at home in the body here or away from it. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one must receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." Because we have the motivation, the longing for home, it gives us the motivation and the proper mindset. Dorothy, when she got to the land of Oz and thought it was glorious at first, but then she realized, no, this is no place like home. I want to be back home. And she realized there was no place better than home. Having that proper longing for heaven gives us the proper mindset. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul, writing to the church there, reminded them of the mindset that we should have. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you'll find it there. Colossians chapter 3, where he says this. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Paul said our mindset as believers in Christ and Jesus should be set on things above. We as believers should be living with the heavenly mindset where we're focused on him. And that word "seek" means to search after diligently. And it was used by Jesus in the Gospels when he told the story about looking for the shepherd, looking for the sheep, where he left the others and went out to search for the sheep. And he used that same word when the lady was looking for the pearl of great price. And it's having that same longing of setting our heart on him. And it's that word is in the present tense, which means we have to continue to long for, to continue to seek her home, to live with that mindset. So I ask you today, what are you doing daily to set your mind on heaven? And I've heard some people say, oh, if we think of heaven, we'll be so heavenly minded, we'll be no earthly good. But Randy Alcorn points out in this book, sometimes we're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. You know, we have to have our thoughts focused on heaven and where we're going so that it motivates us. Why? Because when we have the proper mindset focused on home, it focuses us to finish the prize, to focus on the prize that is ahead. Paul said, my prize, my motivation is to know Jesus. And he said, because of that, I run the race, keeping my eye on the prize so that I can cross that finish line someday and hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Keeping our eye on the finish line, keeping our eye on what is ahead, motivates us to focus on the prize, to run the race with diligence when we are groaning in this world, when we experience the heartache, when we experience the hardship and the adversity. Being focused on the prize continues to help us to go and to run the race and to overcome. And the scripture said, blessed are the overcomers. Randy Alcorn shares in his book about Florence Chadwick and her experience. In 1952, young Florence Chadwick had stepped into the waters of the Pacific Ocean off of Catalina Island, determined to swim the shore of the mainland of California, from Catalina to California. That was her determination to do. She had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. The weather was foggy and chilly, and she could hardly see the boats accompanying her. Still, she swam for 15 hours. When she begged to be taken out of the water along the way, her mother and a boat alongside of her told her to keep close because she could make it. Finally, physically and emotionally exhausted, she stopped swimming and she was pulled out. It wasn't until she was on the boat that she discovered that the shore was less than a half of a mile away. At a news conference the next day, she said, all I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. That's how it is with heaven. Around us in this earth, while we live in the tent, we see the fog. We're groaning and we say, oh man, I can't make it anymore. But we keep running the race, keeping our eye on the shoreline and on the prize ahead of us, giving us the motivation to run with endurance the race marked out for us until the day he calls us home and it is finished. Amen? That's why we need to have that heavenly mindset. It gives us the proper mindset to run for and focus on the prize. It also had the proper mindset to send treasures ahead. Because you heard that old saying, you've never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse. We can't take with us all that we have here, but we can send it ahead. And a lot of people spend their life, and even Christians can get caught up in this, spending our life pursuing all these things of this world that won't matter. It's all going to burn up here. It doesn't mean anything. And we can spend our whole life pursuing creating great wealth for ourselves here or masking a lot of things for ourselves here. It means absolutely nothing. It's going to burn up. Or we can send treasures ahead. And Jesus said, lay up treasures ahead in heaven that don't corrupt, where moth and rust cannot break in, or thief cannot break in and steal. It's only what we send ahead. And what we send ahead is what we invest in for Jesus. What we do for him. And for his glory and honor, that's the only thing that matters. And focusing on heaven lays us to that motivation to lay up those treasures there. Not for our glory, but for his glory. So at the end, when we receive those crowns, when we stand before him, we can lay them back at his feet to give him the glory and honor. So what are you doing to send those treasures ahead? What eternal investments are you making now for your future? We spend a lot of time making investments physically on a life here that doesn't matter. But what are you doing investing for treasures in heaven where it really counts. And having the proper mindset as well to take others with us. Our motivation, concern should be to take others to heaven with us. As the great Charlie Kirk said, and his motivation for living is his motivation and mission was to make heaven more crowded. To take other people with me to heaven, to sharing the good news of the hope that we have. And part of the reason is to know that reality of what's ahead. Because if you know something's ahead and I have a really good eye doctor, and some of you know him, Dr. P. And he's done great things for me in saving my vision. And because of that, I tell everybody, hey, if you need a good doctor, go to Dr. P. He'll take great care of you. And you want other people to know that. Well, if you know what is in store for the future of heaven, and we know it's reality, don't you want other people to enjoy that too? Don't you want other people to experience the joy of heaven and to be there with us? And to share that should be our motivation, to take others with us to heaven, to make it more crowded. Because there's only one way to get there, and that's by faith and trust in Christ. So, the Lord calls us to long for home because there's no place like it. It's what you were created for. It's what you were made for. It's going to be wonderful there. It's where our faith becomes sight, and it gives us the proper motivation. So the questions this morning on the back side of this, on the application side of this, is a couple questions for you to answer. Only you know the answer to this because it's personal to you. And that is, am I sure that heaven is my home? If you would breathe your last breath today and death would come to you, and it's going to come to all of us unless the rapture happens first. But if this was your last day on earth and you took your last breath today, do you know for sure that heaven is your home? And there's only two answers to that question. It's yes or no. And what is your answer to that based on? Because I attend church, that's not going to do it. Because I gave money to the church, because I did good works, that's not going to do it. Because I did all these things, that's not going to matter. When you stand before Jesus someday and you come to heaven, he's going to say, why should I let you in? And if you say, it's because I did all these things for you, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. There's only one thing, and that's by personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Knowing him as Lord and Savior, relying on him and what he's done for us on the cross, and trusting him only. That's the only thing that's going to get us to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen? And we got to hold firm on that. That's the truth of Scripture. So is heaven your home? Do you have that reality and that assurance? If not, today is the day to make sure of that. Today is to make sure that, yes, I want to know for sure that I'm going to be in heaven with Christ, that I'm going to enjoy that whom he's preparing. First question. Second is, are you living with a heavenly mindset? Am I living with a heavenly mindset, yes or no? And what can I do to have a longing for heaven? Am I focused on this life? Or am I focused on my home? Where is my mindset at? Where is my focus? What is my motivation each day? Second question to answer. And the third, who am I seeking to take with me? The name of a person that you can put down there and pray for. Who am I seeking to take to heaven with me that I want to enjoy the glories of this place too? That I don't want them to experience, because you know the Bible says there's only two alternatives. There's heaven and there's hell. And hell, just as much as heaven is a reality, so is hell. And hell is going to be a place of separation, of judgment, pain, agony. So, I mean, all that the Bible says, for them, we'll be talking about that as well, because we can't talk about heaven without talking about hell, the reality. And hell is a place for those who do not know Jesus, for those who are lost and die without Christ. And well, there's no hope of ever getting out of that place. So those are the two alternatives. So who do you know? If someone doesn't know Jesus as Savior, they're bound for eternity in hell, and that's the reality of the truth. People don't like to hear that today, but that's the reality of the gospel. And so that's the hope we have in Jesus. So as I close this morning, I just want to share with you another excerpt from the book. And imagine your first day in heaven, you close your eyes here, and you open your eyes in heaven. And what do you experience? In the new earth or in heaven that God has prepared, it'll be far better than anything you've ever seen. And Randy Alcorn writes, he said, imagine it, all of it, the earth restored in its original condition. The happy dog with the wagging tail, not the snarling beast beaten and starved. The flowers unwilted, the grass undying, the blue sky without pollution. People smiling and joyful, not angry or depressed or empty. And if you're not in a particular beautiful place, then close your eyes and imagine, envision the most beautiful place you've ever been. Complete with palm trees, raging rivers, jagged mountains, waterfalls, and snow depths. Think of friends or family members who love Jesus, who are there with him now. Picture them with you, walking together in this place. All of you have beautiful, powerful bodies, stronger than an Olympic decathlete athlete. You are laughing, playing, talking, reminiscing. You can reach up to a tree and pick an apple or an orange. You take a bite. It's so sweet that it's startling. You've never tasted anything so good. Now you see someone coming towards you. It's Jesus with a big smile on his face. You fall to your knees in worship. He pulls you up and he embraces you. At last, you're with the person you were made for and in the place you were made to be. Everywhere you go will be with new people and new places to enjoy and new things to discover. What's that smell? It's a feast. A party's ahead and you've been invited. Doesn't that make you want to go there? Doesn't that make you long for heaven? And that reality is true for us if you know Christ. So this morning we want to give you that opportunity. If you don't know Jesus and you don't have that assurance that heaven is your home, we want to give you that opportunity today to make sure of that. If you do, we can celebrate that hope and the reality of taking others with us. So let us pray. As we bow our heads this morning, there's no one here but Jesus and you, and he knows all of our hearts. And we've given a glimpse of the beauty of what is in store for us. And if you don't have that assurance of heaven this morning, that if this would be your last day on earth, you would take your last breath, you're not sure heaven is your home, can you indicate that just by raising your hand? And I'm going to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor Dan, I'm just not sure that heaven's a reality for me. If you have that certainty, then the challenge is to pray that God would give you a heavenly mindset of focusing in on him, of running the race with diligence, those who are before, race before us. And to take others with us, to make heaven more crowded by sharing the good news of what is in store. So the challenge for you, if you know Christ, is Lord, help me to have my focus on you, to run the race with diligence. Who can I take with me? And what treasures can I lay up before you in heaven for your glory? Father, we thank you for your truth, for the wonderful place you are preparing for us. Lord, your word just gives us a glimpse and we can't not help but get excited when we think of what is in store. It was to just pull back the curtain a little bit to get a glimpse of all that is in store for us. Of here we live in a tent, but there we're going to live in a glorious mansion. Here we groan, but there we're going to celebrate. Lord, enjoy all that you've intended for us from all eternity. When our faith will become sight and we will see you face to face. We thank you for that hope and that assurance. And Lord, may we live with that heavenly mindset focused in on you that we may run with confidence the race laid out before us until we cross that line, until you take us home and it said, "Well done. Welcome home, my child." So Lord, thank you for that promise of heaven. Give us a longing to be home, just like Dorothy, where that longing, we can't, there's no place like home. That's where we are looking forward to. That's where we want to be. And so Father, thank you for that. Thank you for your word, and stir in our hearts through your Holy Spirit, who you've given to us as a deposit, as a guarantee, assuring us that that inheritance is a reality. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.